The following podcast contains explicit language.
Pickett takes the snap. He fakes. He gives it off to Barkley. Barkley makes three men miss. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He is going all the way. Saquon Barkley, 68 yards. Is he amazing? Is he amazing? He is flat out amazing.
How do you go from that to this?
Daniels is looking. Fires for the end zone. Complete touchdown. Jamison Crowder. And now Washington leads it.
Yeah, with just 6 seconds left on the clock.
Now, to be clear, my question at the top was one of bewilderment, not wonder or curiosity. We have the answers. Anyone who watched the wild, back-and-forth, mistake-muddled NFC East showdown between the Eagles and Washington Commanders on Sunday knows why the game got away. The culprits and causes are as multiple as they are obvious. The Eagles were undisciplined.
Too many men on defensive formation. 5-yard penalty. First down.
They lost their cool.
Personal foul. Defense number 98. Unnecessary roughness. 15-yard penalty. Automatic. First down.
They made uncharacteristic, unforced errors.
Juggled and dropped by Devontae Smith.
This is one of the most sure-hand guys I've ever seen. He just drops it.
Above all, the Eagles got a bad break that totally changed the trajectory of a game that looked like they were going to win in a rout.
It looks like Kenny Pickett is going to come in, and they're going to check on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it looked like Frankie Louvu hit him, and his head might have hit the ground, but I get that.
So yeah, the explanation of how the Eagles let two 14-point leads slip away is pretty clear. Head coach Nick Sirianni zeroed in on one word to sum up his team's play after their 10-game winning streak came to an end.
Just sloppy. Sloppy with penalties, sloppy with too many men on the field, sloppy with our fundamentals. And when you play a good football team like we played today, it's going to be hard to win.
The real question Sirianni and the Eagles need to answer moving forward is, with two games left, how do they address the slop? Were these issues just a reflection of circumstance in the absence of key personnel, namely the quarterback? Or could there be more serious symptoms at play?
Self-inflicted. A lot of those today. Just self-inflicted.
Biggest thing is the penalties against us. We just got to be better and not give them free yards.
People going to hold each other accountable, and people going to hold themselves accountable everywhere, from the top to the bottom. Not just from the players, but coaches and everybody too.
But on top of the slot, you've got the quarterback spot. What's going to happen there?
I try to prepare like a starter every week, so if something like this does happen, I go in there and I can give myself the best chance to play good football to help us win.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast, with new episodes every week during the regular season. Coming up, we take a look at the somewhat underrated yet undeniably great season that Jordan Mailata has put together at left tackle. And what went down with that weird post-game exchange Sunday between Nick Sirianni and former Eagles Zach Ertz? But to start things off, I'm here to distill some truths. What you should and shouldn't be worried about from the Washington debacle. It was the final minutes of the first quarter, and everybody was trying to get a handle on Jalen Hurts' status before he was ruled out with a concussion, including the Fox broadcast crew, which started speculating in Hurts' absence how the Eagles' offense might look without him.
He is being evaluated for a concussion. We will update you when we get something further on if Hurts will or won't return.
All right, Pam, and if there's any offense equipped to be good, no matter who they've got at quarterback, it would be this one.
Whoops.
This is Frankie Louvu coming up with a pick, stepped in front of A.J. Brown.
A few plays later, backup Kenny Pickett tossed an interception that altered the tone of the game.
They get the pick from Louvu.
Turns out, it's not that easy to replace Hurts in the Eagles' offense. Not that you ever heard that here. In Pickett's defense, it's difficult to take over a quarterback when you haven't played in a game or taken a practice rep with the starters all season. He made some decent throws, and if Devontae Smith hadn't dropped the pass that would have essentially sealed the outcome, the former Steelers quarterback would have gotten the victory.
I'm honestly just sitting here just pissed off, man. Wanted to win that one bad, point blank. So any reps you get are valuable, you know, practice, game, whatever it is, because, you know, you don't get many of them, you know, being the two. So I just want to take advantage of everything I can get, and you know, hopefully these guys feel that they can rely on me, you know, if I have to go in there again.
Guess what? The quarterback position is important, and no offense is equipped that even a robot can run it. Hurts has struggled as a passer this season, and the Eagles have shifted to a run-heavy system, partly as a result. But his value in the run game can't be overstated, particularly on zone read plays. That was a prominent reason why Washington held Saquon Barkley to just 41 yards on 22 carries after he ran 68 yards for a touchdown late in the first quarter. But Pickett's limitations as a passer also contributed to the Commanders stacking the box versus the Eagles. If you thought Hurts narrowed his focus on A.J. Brown and Smith too much, Pickett's first 17 targets only went to the two receivers. He was also dealing with an injury to his rib area early in the fourth quarter that had emergency quarterback Tanner McKee briefly warming up. Pickett finished the game, but he said he had x-rays afterward and that there would be further testing the next day.
I'm going to have the same routine that I've always had. That's the good news of trying to be prepared as much as possible. I don't have to change much. If anything, I'll just get more reps in practice. That's about the only thing that would change for me.
Sirianni had no update on Monday. Per a team source, Pickett was sore but optimistic about playing on Sunday if needed. No offense to Pickett, but Hurts' health is of greater concern. This is the first concussion of his NFL career. It appeared as if he didn't want to leave the game, and after he was removed from the field and examined in the medical tent, he had his helmet on and looked like he was ready to return. Head injuries aren't to be taken lightly, obviously, but improvements in equipment and recovery have made it possible for players who have entered concussion protocol to not miss the following game. In the past two seasons, the Eagles have had two players cleared in time to play the next week, punt returner Britton Covey and safety Sidney Brown just this past week. Commanders and former Eagles tight end Zach Ertz had the same quick turnaround this past week. But none of those players are quarterbacks, and if Hurts were to miss valuable practice time, it may be hard to get him ready in time for Sunday's game against the Cowboys. The Eagles still have much at stake, but they also don't want to mess around with their quarterback. Hurts missed two games late in the 2022 season after injuring his non-throwing shoulder, and the Eagles lost both games with Gardner Minshew as his replacement. That injury, like the one at Washington, occurred on a design quarterback run where Hurts didn't slide. He is normally one of the best at protecting himself, but he runs so much that he exposes himself to splatter hits. And when Hurts fell forward in Sunday's first quarter, Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu was able to come in and hit him in the chest. His helmet appeared to snap back against the ground. On Monday, I asked Eagles coach Nick Sirianni if he would have preferred if Hurts slid in that circumstance.
Yeah, Nick, you said before that Jalen does a pretty good job of protecting himself, but would you have liked him to slide there?
Sure, yeah. You know, he always has done a good job of protecting himself and been dynamic, both as a passer and as a runner. Yeah, anytime something goes down and you lose one of your best players, you wish they'd do something else or not take that hit in that scenario. We always want him to. We always run runs that protect him, and we always want him to protect himself. Unfortunately, this is a unfortunate part of football. The injuries that happen, unfortunately, sometimes it's with head injuries, and you never want to see that because you always want what's best for your players and their well-being. And so, obviously, don't want him to take that hit.
2 years ago, Hurts' two-game absence didn't stop the Eagles from making the Super Bowl, and that could be the best way of looking at the loss to the Commanders as just a blip, because the starter was out and his backup wasn't good enough. But that was a winnable game, and a lot more went wrong than just a quarterback. The Eagles were penalized 10 times, four of which were personal fouls. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was ejected after a second penalty for taunting. The defense had two 12 men on the field penalties, the second of which was declined because the confusion allowed the Commanders to score a long touchdown. There were also 13 missed tackles and several missed assignments. Gardner-Johnson wasn't available to reporters after the game, but he defended himself on social media and wrote after the game, "Respectfully got kicked out for nothing. I play with passion and fire. Guys was chirping all day. What you expect?" A day later, he added, "I was passionate after our QB took an illegal hit, so my emotions was everywhere. Didn't want to do anything to hurt the team. But a little trash talk, come on now. I'm sorry. Gardner Johnson has brought back some fire to a defense that was notably lacking in passion a year ago. And defensive tackle Jalen Carter plays with an edge that is only exceeded by his prodigious talent. But he was flagged for unnecessary roughness for a second straight game. And it's fair to question whether they went over the line, partly because they were baited.
I always encourage our guys to be themselves, have fun when you're celebrating, play how you play, but do it within the confines of the rules. And that's something I say to our guys all the time. And that's the same message here. Obviously, you don't want those situations. I love how much energy and fire those guys play with. But obviously, at no point is it, do you want them to get a penalty or is it acceptable to get a penalty?
Whether Gardner Johnson deserved to get tossed or not, or whether the penalty on Carter was excessive, they have clearly developed reputations around the league. Sirianni and coordinator Vic Fangio want a defense that is nasty, but some Eagles, like linebacker N'Kobe Dean, thought it went too far.
Oh, man. If you ask me, we went a little bit too far over the line. And certainly, as soon as we start getting penalties, the thing is, we know it's chippy. It's a division game. It's the top of the division game being this year, late in December. So we knew we'd get chippy. We knew what kind of game it was going to be. We just got to kind of keep our composure as a team and as players.
Carter agreed.
When that flag on the air, that's how I know how far you could take it. When that flag on the air, I mean, he probably went overboard, and the refs believe that was a flag right there, and you just got to calm it down. Can't get another one.
Gardner Johnson's absence in the secondary impacted the defense. His replacement, Tristan McCullen, struggled. He was late to cover former Eagles receiver Olamide Zaccheaus on a touchdown catch, and he was one of several who missed quarterback Jaden Daniels in the open field on his 29-yard 4th-and-11 scamper. But McCullen wasn't alone. The NFL's number one defense couldn't get off the field for long stretches as Daniels rallied the Commanders back. Was the sloppiness on that side of the ball just a byproduct of not having a complementary offense or of just losing personnel? Beyond Gardner Johnson, defensive end Josh Sweat, cornerback Darius Slay, nose tackle Jordan Davis, and Dean missed snaps due to injury. Or is there cause for greater concern? Fangio's pass defense allowed 3 explosive passes over 32 yards, 2 for touchdowns. Daniels' 29-yard scramble was a killer, but the Eagles let him break containment on multiple occasions. The most pressing issue may have been the lack of a pass rush. Daniels was sacked only once and hit just 1 additional time. There was some pressure applied, which helped lead to some of the 5 turnovers the defense forced. So it wasn't close to all bad. But Fangio blitzed at his highest rate of the season, even though Washington played from behind for almost the entire game. Daniels was forced to drop far more than hand off, especially late, and yet the Eagles' pass rushers couldn't get home. Daniels deserves credit. The rookie may be the real deal and cause for greater consternation in the future, immediate if the Eagles are to face him again in the playoffs and beyond. But right now, the Commanders are the most likely opponent in the first round. The bad blood was on display during the game and after. Oddly enough, between Sirianni and former Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. The two had to be separated during post-game handshake. Sirianni didn't have much to say about it after the game.
What was the nature of the interaction with Zach Ertz after the game? It looked like he was pretty...
Congrats. Both of us say congrats to each other.
Ertz told an Inquirer reporter, I'll let him comment on what was said. To me, we just exchanged holiday pleasantries and kept it moving. But according to sources close to the incident, here's what really happened. Ertz went to shake Sirianni's hand, could tell the coach was agitated, so instead gave him a high five. Sirianni didn't like the intensity of Hertz's hand slap and mocked him because he had only 1 catch and told him he essentially did nothing to contribute to the Commanders' win. Hertz took exception and got in Sirianni's face, but the coach's escort, as always, Dom DeSandro, jumped in and held Hertz back and ushered a defeated Sirianni to the tunnel. Sirianni later called Hertz and apologized over a Zoom conference call, sources said. The former Eagles tight end played for the coach in his first year in Philadelphia before getting traded to the Cardinals midseason. Publicly, Ertz and Sirianni were complimentary of each other after their short stint together in 2021. For all the Eagles' sloppiness, they almost beat Washington without Hertz. So the loss felt much more like the defeat in Dallas 2 Decembers ago than anything related to last season's collapse or earlier this season when the Eagles were still searching for their identity. But there were reminders of the lack of discipline they have showed at their lowest points under Sirianni, and his unnecessary interaction with Ertz was just another example of the coach becoming unhinged. Some of his players behave similarly during the game. They have at times taken on his personality. There's good emotion, and then there's bad. Which will the Eagles show when their backs are up against it in the postseason? To be determined. Coming up next, Jordan Mailata's road to Philadelphia started half a world away. Will it finally, at long last, take him to Orlando for much-deserved honor? We'll examine the left tackle's Pro Bowl chances after this.
Philly sports fans, we get the obsession. We know you need more than the score and the stats. You need coverage that gives you the home field advantage. You need Inquire Sports. Whatever your game, we're on it with round-the-clock updates and all the insider info. Why? Because we share the obsession, and we bleed Philly, just like you. Get your Philly sports fix at inquire.com/sports. Your home field advantage for all things Philly sports.
Hey, this is Brian Seltzer. I love producing Uncovering the Birds and working with Jeff, just like I love working on the other podcasts we produce at KYW News Radio. We just launched a brand new show. It's called The Week in Philly. Pretty self-explanatory. It looks back and ahead at the biggest stories in the Philadelphia region with a longer lens than what you might hear on the radio. We've also got Gone Cold, exploring unsolved murders in the city. Gone Cold team released a fantastic miniseries called Ricochet. It examines all the angles of the city's gun crisis. You gotta check it out. Bridging Philly brings you stories that connect communities on the issues that matter most to you, and one-on-one has great conversations with people in sports you should absolutely know more about. So give the full slate of KYW News Radio original podcasts a listen. Download the free Odyssey app and follow KYW News Radio for Philly's best original podcasts right at your fingertips.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds. Jordan Mailata has yet to earn a Pro Bowl nod in his seven-year career. Considering where he started, that may not come as much of a surprise. But the former Australian rugby player has been among the best left tackles in the NFL for several years now, and nada. Each of his four previous seasons as a starter ended without recognition. That could all end this year, in a few weeks when Pro Bowl rosters are announced, because Mailata is playing at such a high level that it would be egregious if he didn't finally get voted in. Mailata missed four games in the middle of the season due to a hamstring strain, and that may hinder his chances. But it shouldn't. At least that's what Lane Johnson thinks. He told me the injury and something quite different might be the only things keeping Mailata from becoming a Pro Bowler like him.
He can do it all. Yeah, I mean, other than the hamstring, that's the only thing that can stop him. Or a fucking gun. That's about the only thing that can stop Jordan Mailata. So he's on his way. Yeah, and he knows it. And we've all known it. We've seen him progress over the years. But yeah, he's premier. He's elite.
And Mailata is simply playing better than he ever has, which may be the best of any tackle in the NFL. And that includes even Johnson. I take Pro Football Focus's player rating stats with a grain of salt. But if you're to believe them, Mailata is getting the highest mark for any tackle, left or right, in the NFL over the last three seasons. That certainly provides some empirical support for the notion that he's worthy of a Pro Bowl selection. Most important, perhaps, is that he believes he is playing better than he ever has.
Do you feel like you are playing better this year?
I am. Yeah, I do. I do.
And what do you think specifically you've improved in the most?
I think effort. I think effort, man.
Effort on the effort. Field or effort in other
in, the field? Off the field and on the field. You know, I play harder. I play harder longer. I think that's just what separates me, man. You know, I'm trying not to take any plays off. You know, that's my mindset going in. So I think just being more detailed in the meetings has helped me make more heads-up plays and understanding where to, you know, technique-wise, just playing with technique. I think that's helped me. Well, that's where, playing with technique and not with strength and broad size.
Yeah.
A conversation with Mailata occurred a few weeks back, but his blocking the last two games has done little to hurt his case. It won't be easy. Only three tackles are awarded spots for each conference, and the NFC may have more depth at the position than the AFC. His chief competition will come against perennial Pro Bowlers, Trent Williams of the 49ers, Tristan Wirfs of the Buccaneers, Penei Sewell of the Lions, and of course his teammate, Johnson. Mailata has greater goals, and they're not based on individual performance. He said he didn't hear talk about the Pro Bowl until a member of the Eagles' communications department recently gave him a heads up that reporters would ask him about the subject. Even so, he said he doesn't need to look outside the building for competition.
Yeah, I'm not in the business for Pro Bowls, man. I want Super Bowls. Yeah, I really do. That was the only time I ever talked about it. In all truth, that was it. It's never been brought up again. So, yeah, I don't really think about it. I just go out there and play, man. My only competition is Lane. That's how I see it. I try to be the best tackle in that field, and you know, seeing Lane every play, you know, makes me want to play harder.
Johnson, like Mailata, was overlooked for several years before finally earning his first Pro Bowl honor in his fifth season. It usually takes a few years for the rest of the country to catch up with what locals know. Johnson initially had to fight the perception that the best tackles in the league only played on the left side. But for late-round draft picks, especially ones who had never previously played American football, like Mailata, there are obstacles to gaining league-wide respect. While the fan vote accounts for one-third of voting, the remaining two-thirds is from players and coaches. Mailata is currently fourth behind Sewell, Lions right tackle Taylor Decker, and Johnson. He said he hasn't heard much from opposing players about his improvement or standing versus others at the position. Maybe it's because he often reminds the trash talkers about who is dominating them.
I'm the one who chats shit on the line. Everyone else doesn't. They just go about their business. But if someone's chirping on the other side, like, I can't help it. You know, I'll talk back. And that's usually my defense, my one-liner. Like, I've only been playing for 6 years, you... Expletive.
What the fuck are you saying?
What they say. They're like, what the hell? No one can understand you.
Johnson said the NFL's best edge rushers have been paying attention.
Guys know. They see what he's doing out there. Yeah. And I told him earlier in the year, I thought, you know, this is his best year. And he just, every year, he just keeps progressing, keeps getting bigger, better, stronger. And he's had some leadership qualities. He's always had that. But I feel like he's really taken a step this year in being that leader and representing, man. I'm proud of him, you know, coming from where he came from, developing. Yeah, just really taking off.
Johnson labeled Mailata the best run-blocking tackle in the NFL, which PFF's numbers indicate. Saquon Barkley's historic season is probably a better indicator of his dominance in the run game. It's taken a collective effort to help get the Eagles running back to the cusp of 2,000 yards on the ground and within striking distance of Eric Dickerson's record of 2,105 yards in a season. But often, whenever the Eagles need a big gain, Barkley is running to Mailata's side, behind a 6'8", 365-pound behemoth that moves like a tight end.
I don't think anybody can run block the way he can. At his size and his movement skills, at that size, there's nobody can do that. Usually you have guys 370, 365, they can't move. So he can do it all.
Mailata's background in rugby may make it seem as if it's easy for him to stay in premium shape. But according to Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, it has taken a lot of work for the 27-year-old to maintain his size and not lose any of his quickness and agility.
He's a huge dude. I think one thing that the type of shape he's in, I don't think gets talked about enough. Like, he's a big man that, he's a huge man, right? That could weigh a ton, but he has worked so hard at his body. He works so hard at being in good shape so he can be there for his teammates.
Eagles assistant coach Jeff Stoutland has been a miracle worker with so many offensive linemen who have come through Philly. But Mailata may end up his masterpiece. He played a large role in general manager Howie Roseman rolling the dice in the seventh round of the 2018 draft. A workout Stoutland conducted a month before the draft convinced him that Mailata was worth the gamble. Only one other NFL team was in attendance. But it took over 2 years of behind-the-scenes drilling on the field and in the classroom before he was finally decent enough to be active for games. And it took a few more years before he won the starting job for good. But Stoutland always knew he had a special piece of clay to work with. Mailata's combination of size and athleticism is a rarity. It was never more evident than on one of Barkley's most important runs of the season, a 25-yard touchdown dash in the fourth quarter of the Eagles' win over the Ravens. Mailata's pull block led the way. When I watched the film, Mailata's footwork, when he got out of his crouch and changed direction, caught my attention. He looked like a ballerina. I texted Stoutland for an explanation, and when I walked out to practice, he mimicked the move and yelled to me, "Balance! It's all about balance." Mailata said his footwork may be where rugby has helped the most.
I think I've always had good feet. just learning the technique has always been the biggest issue. And once I feel confident in the movement, I just need repetitions. So in the walkthroughs, I practice it all the time in the walkthroughs. Like, I go full speed in the walkthroughs. On the pulls, especially on the pulls, I want to be able to get that footwork down, especially on the pulls in walkthrough, just so it feels comfortable on game day, so I can execute at a quick rate, higher rate, and faster rate.
Pass protection took a little longer for Mailata to master. Johnson was laudatory about his improvement in that discipline, but notice how he didn't say Mailata was the best at it. That's because it's Johnson's forte. He has allowed just 3 sacks in the last 4 seasons. This season, Johnson hasn't given up a single sack, and he's second among tackles in pressure rate. But Johnson conceded that Mailata is clipping at his heels. He's allowed just 1 sack this season and is 10th in pressure rate.
I think he's having, you know, one of his best years. I feel like every year he just keeps elevating. And so, yeah, from coming from where he, you know, not playing any football to the best, you know, left tackle in football, I don't think anybody can run block the way he can. And pass pro, there's not anybody that size that can move the way he does. So, you know, I think he's having an all-pro year.
What may be undisputed is that the Eagles have the best tackle tandem in the NFL, which is a credit to Roseman and his staff, particularly in how they've managed to afford both Mailata and Johnson. The low sacks allowed, the high pressure rate numbers, they don't take into account how often the Eagles' scheme leaves their tackles on an island.
I think it's a lot of trust. You watch a lot of other schemes, they get a lot of guard help. Jordan and I don't get the luxury of that. So a DN has a two-way go every other time. So a lot of guys, there's some schemes that can protect them. They have that. Maybe I'll get on PFF and I get done, if I can tell you.
Johnson's had a long-running feud with PFS rankings, but they do take island rate into account in their rankings. Mailata remains its top-ranked tackle with 2 games left, and by a healthy margin. He doesn't pay attention to his rating, he said, but someone else in the Mailata house does.
Yeah, my wife. I try to tell my wife to fucking, you know, stop looking into that stuff, but she can't help it.
Number one, PFF rankings, Pro Bowls, or any individual honor. They don't mean everything, but it's nice to be recognized. Mailata could finally be headed to Orlando for the Pro Bowl in February, unless he has another more important game to play later that month. The Eagles host the Cowboys on Sunday at the Link in a game that was moved from 4:25 p.m. to 1 p.m. Dallas has been eliminated from the playoffs, but teams without anything at stake can be the most dangerous. And the Cowboys-Eagles clobbered in early November are playing much better 6 weeks later. They've won 4 of their last 5 games, admittedly against some lesser weights. But they've tightened up their defense, and Coach Mike McCarthy has backup quarterback Cooper Rush playing more consistently. His first start of the season came versus the Eagles. An Eagles victory gives them the NFC East title the Commanders denied them from winning in Week 16. More important, it gives them the number 2 seed in the conference and home field through the first 2 rounds of the postseason. The Eagles' chances of getting the top seed took a major blow on Washington. A lot would have to break their way to overcome the Lions or Vikings for the first round bye. This has been Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KOW News Radio original podcast. Our producer is KOW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickert, KYW News Radio's Director of Podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. Special thanks to Sports Radio 94 WIP, Fox Sports, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. If you're enjoying Uncovering the Birds, please give us a rating and a review. Like Bob Frankhausen, we appreciate it. Listen to Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to Inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McLean. You can follow me on X, Blue Sky, or Threads at Jeff_McLean, or search my name on any social media platform. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.